This is Smart Tech, episode 1510. What's best for you? A mouse, a tablet, a trackpad, or a trackball? Hello, and welcome to this rodent-infested episode of Smart Tech. I am your hostess with the mostest, Chuck Minear. And I'm here this week to share some fascinating facts about computer input devices. Yes, computer input devices. Can you think of a more exciting topic? And yet, we spend many hours in front of our computer device, our laptops, our desktops, and certainly we spend a lot of time inputting data, and we want to make sure we do it in the most efficient way possible. So this week, we're going to talk about that, and hopefully this will give you some ideas, spur you on to action to make your life more ergonomic. And what is ergonomics? Well, if you've listened to this program for any length of time, you know I've talked about this a few times. Ergonomics is the science of human interaction. It's how to devise devices, external devices that make living our lives easier. For example, a hard, flat piece of wood across two stones is the most basic bench you can make, but it's not ergonomic. You sit on it, it's really hard. It's not shaped toward your, you know, derriere. There's no back for you to lean on. And so when you sit on such a bench or a stone bench or something like that for any period of time, you find yourself in a state of great discomfort. And that discomfort can lead to a lot of things, including, in this case, a sore butt. But in the case of an ergonomic input device, it can lead to sore hands, sore eyes, sore back, and, you know, carpal tunnel syndrome and surgery. And I have many friends who use technology in their daily lives who have been affected physically by having to sit in certain positions and work in certain positions over and over and over. It's a repetitive injury. And so we want to make things as easy as possible, and we also want to make things efficient. We want to make sure that when you input data into the computer, you're doing it in an efficient way. I mean, we only have so many hours and minutes and seconds in our lives, and nobody knows exactly how many we have. But who wants to waste a good chunk of them sitting in front of a computer entering data or moving things around when you don't have to? If it's fun, that's one thing. If it's work, you want to be efficient and get it done. So I am a member of the B&H Photo. B&H Photo is one of my places I like to buy things. I'm a member of the B&H Photo Deal of the Day email. And every day I get an email from them. I think it's every other day. I think it's every 72 hours or, let's see, that'd be 48 hours, wouldn't it? So I'm not a math major. Every couple days, they send out an email, and it has a deal of the day. And some of their deals are really good. And so this last week, I saw that a Kensington Wired Trackball, their expert mouse model, which I've used off and on for 20 years. It's evolved over those years, but it's always been a good input device, and I've really been probably overall my favorite. And I saw it on sale for like $39. Now, the expert ball or expert mouse is a $99 item, and it's hard to find it any cheaper than $99. And so they must have had an overstock of them, and they had a whole bunch for $39. And so I ordered one, and I just installed it. And I really like it. And I replaced another device. I replaced a trackpad, a large trackpad, an Apple trackpad that I'd had for a while. I still have it, trying to go between the two. But I remember using with great fondness a wired trackball for many, many years. And it helped me to be the most efficient, especially when I was doing things like audio editing, video editing, where I had timelines and I had to scroll back and forth and I had to pick things in a precise manner. So it got me thinking, you know, how many of us put any thought into the devices that we use to input data into the computer? Now, this isn't the first time that we've talked about how we interact with the computer and how we input things. Back in, it's been 2 years ago, episode 1314, I did an episode called Ergonomically Tech. And in that episode, I talked about chairs, how important it is to have a good chair with good support. And I talked about the phenomenon of standing desks, which I still haven't gotten into, but I'm busy redesigning my office. And one of the things I'm going to have is a desk that I can either stand or sit at. And then we talked about treadmill desks and how you can actually get some exercise in while doing some work. And that I really haven't gotten into. I don't know whether I could type and do those type of things while walking, but I haven't tried it really. But there are studies that show how positive that is. But what about just on your hand? You know, there's keyboard ergonomics, and we should all have keyboards that are at the right height and that work well. And we should also have input devices. So let's talk about those today. There are several different types of input devices that you can use. The most common, of course, is the mouse. It comes with almost every desktop computer. You can go out and buy them relatively inexpensively now. You can buy them different sizes, large, small, travel ones. They used to have that ball in the bottom, you know, that you used to have to move the mouse around on top of this ball. The problem with the mouse ball was that it would get gunky. Things would get in it and it wouldn't track anymore. And now almost all mouses, I haven't seen any mouse with balls before or lately. They're all Unix mouses. They use optical sensors in the bottom of the mouse to track it. And it also allows you to use it on more surfaces. Remember the old mouse pads, and you had to really pick certain surfaces for the mouse to track correctly on. And we all had mouse pads, and now you don't really need a mouse pad, although sometimes you do. Sometimes it still depends on, you know, how reflective the surface is, how smooth the surface is, whether a mouse works well for you. So as I said, it's the most common. It comes free, basically, with the computers that you buy. It's ergonomic around the hand. It was the first ones were that were widely used were on Macintoshes, and they were kind of squared off, and they looked really cool, but they weren't very ergonomic. But now they're curved. The buttons are easily pressed. The Apple Magic Mouse actually has a trackpad on top of the mouse, so you can move your finger around the top of the mouse and use it kind of as a trackpad and a mouse. And there's every different type of mouse that you can imagine. Now, let me tell you a mouse story. Back when I was teaching middle school, I remember one of the tricks in a computer lab back in those days was kids would steal the mouse balls out of the bottom, and then you wouldn't be able to use the computers. And so I was gone on some kind of a conference, and I had a sub, and I came back one day, and sure enough, my mouse balls had been pilfered. And then you have to decide, okay, I actually found a place where I could order mouse balls. And, but I did get a call from the district when you write a purchase order and it says, I would like 24 mouse balls, please. They were wondering what those were and why I would be not being a biology class. Why would I be needing these? But anyway, we worked that out. Anyway, enough of the junior high mouse ball jokes and stories. And it's a true story, by the way, so you feel free to share. The buttons are easily pressed on the mouse. There's been mouses. I guess you would call them mouses instead of mice, but I don't know. Mouses, mice have been redesigned and redesigned over the years, and so there are some really nice, comfortable units, and you can get ones for different size hands. And so it might be something you want to still consider, as they are the most used and people seem to like them. The negatives to a mouse is it needs space to operate. If you've got a pull-out drawer for your keyboard or something to that effect, or not much space on the desk like I don't, because I have so much junk on my desk, it's very hard for me to find a place to actually move a mouse. And if you have a large screen, And you use regular tracking, and you can change the tracking of a mouse. You can make it so if I move the mouse just a little bit, the icon on the desktop moves a lot across the screen. But the problem is the more you do that, the less precise you are with it. And so you have to kind of get good at moving it fast, but precisely. And so there's a trade-off. So you need space to operate it. And when you get to the end of the space, if you don't have a very big space to move the mouse, I see a lot of people lifting the mouse up and moving it back to the center of the mouse pad or the mouse area. And so there's a lot of lifting and moving and trying. And then once you do that, you lose the cursor on the screen and you can't find it. And yeah. And some people, it causes cramping of the hand. If you're using the mouse a lot, your hand is kind of curved over the top, kind of the same problem you get when you're typing a lot and your hands are curved. And so it can cause cramping of the hand. So there's a couple other devices that have come out. One is a tablet, and this isn't like an iPad type of a tablet. This is a writing pad. It looks like a writing pad, and there's a pen or a writing implement. Looks like a pen or a pencil, and you hold it in your hand and you move across the surface of the tablet to move your cursor, to move the mouse pointer across the screen. What's nice about these is it's great for artists. Artists love these because it works like a pen and paper, and you can actually use software to draw on, and therefore some of these are pressure sensitive. So the harder you push, the darker the line. And it works a lot like a pen or paper. You can interact with it like you interact with a piece of art or a piece of paper if you're an artist. I am not an artist, and I don't particularly like writing longhand. I interact better with a keyboard nowadays than I do with a pen. And when I try to write my name, sign my name, or just write a short note, I struggle with that compared to typing it, because I type so much every day in my job. So for me, this isn't a great revelation. This isn't a great invention. But for others, this is a wonderful invention. Many artists, you'll see, will have the tablet and a mouse. And there's a company called Wacom, W-A-C-O-M. I'll put a link in the show notes. Wacom is probably the biggest, most popular maker of these tablets. And they are pressure sensitive, as I said, which is great for an artist. The negatives to a tablet are it does work like a pen and a paper. So if you're not a person who particularly likes working with pen and paper, then you won't like a tablet. It's expensive. Tablets, I mean, you can find them on sale, but if you want something that's accurate, if you're an artist and you want to be able to move the cursor in fine amounts, then you want to spend a little bit more on that tablet. There are also some tablets now that look like the surfaces of an iPad. They're actually a monitor on the tablet, and you can write on that. So you can actually put the art on the tablet and you can draw on the tablet directly on the art instead of having to, you know, write with your hand and look up on the screen. I've always found that awkward too. I'm used to looking at my hand when I write and not up at a screen and writing down. But I understand it doesn't take long to get used to that. The other negative is the larger, the better. You have a bigger area to move your pen on. You can have more accurate movement of the pen. But the problem is, do you have the space on your desk? So you need to look at that. Kind of the same problem you have with the mouse. You need more space for it. The third type of input device, and has become very, very popular over the last few years. I would say it's the second most popular input device, besides, of course, a keyboard for a computer. And those are trackpads. And that's mostly come because trackpads are on pretty much every laptop that's sold. And tablets are basically big trackpads now. So if you have an iPad, you touch on the tablet. It's like a touch screen. You're actually moving it like it's a trackpad, but it's over the top of what you're doing instead of to the side. Positives of a trackpad. It's like a tablet for your finger. It's very compact. It does fit on laptops, although they've made some, especially the Apple laptops, have some very large trackpads now because it seems to be a little bit easier if it's a larger trackpad. Remember the old IBM ThinkPad? Those had that little red, looked like a little red button in the middle, and it worked more like a joystick. And people seemed to like those because it was over the keyboard. I was never used to it, but I could use it. But those have gone out of fashion, and pretty much everybody is using a trackpad on laptops. It's multi-gesture, which is nice, meaning you can use one finger, you can use two fingers, and you can use three fingers. You can use a whole, your whole hand, all the fingers of your hand. And by programming different motions, it can sense, especially the Apple trackpads have really come into this. They work really well. You know, a three-finger swipe works different than a two-finger swipe. And if you can remember which fingers to do what with, it's a little like playing a piano. If you can remember what chord does what on your trackpad, you can really speed up input. It becomes very quick for people who are used to using multi-touch. And I'll tell you, I use multi-touch because I have an Apple laptop. So I use multi-touch, mostly the pinch and zoom, which was kind of the first one I remember coming out on Apple, where if you're looking at a photo, you put your two fingers together and you pinch your fingers together, you put it down on the trackpad, and then you move them out away from each other. It will actually zoom in or zoom out depending on which way you move your fingers. So it's really nice. And I got used to using that. And so when you're not there in front of the laptop or on a trackpad, all of a sudden you have to remember, okay, how do I zoom in and out on a regular computer or a keyboard? Some of the new trackpads are pressure sensitive, and just like the tablets. And so how hard you push on the trackpad determines different things, different commands. And so you can get used to using multiple fingers and the pressure that you put on the pad. The new Apple trackpads on the new laptops are quite amazing in that they are one unit. They don't, the old pressure sensitive, you know, they've got different kind of switches, micro switches. And as you push harder, it deflects the pad down literally, and you can measure that depth. On the new pads, there is no pressure. It doesn't inflect the pad at all, but it does measure the amount of pressure on there. And then it's got little motors on there that simulate to the feel of your finger that you're actually pushing in on the pad. But the pad is relatively flat the whole time. So it's an illusion for your finger. And maybe it's something we'll look at in another episode, but it's quite amazing the technology that they've put in to just the trackpad. It shows you, though, how important these input devices are. It's also very fast to move around the screen with a trackpad, especially large screens. And so they become nice if you've got either multiple screens or large screens that you need to work with on your desktop. The negatives are it's awkward for a lot of people. I've watched people struggle with using the trackpad. What drives me crazy is sitting there watching people using both index fingers on both hands and using a trackpad. So they'll have their left finger on the button and they'll have the right finger on the pad, and they'll kind of put the two together and make them work together. And it's very inefficient to do that because you want to keep one of your fingers, one of your sets of fingers on the keyboard, and move your, when you're on a laptop, move your right hand, let's say your right hand, and move your right hand down, use the trackpad, click with your thumb, and then move that one hand back to the keyboard and not have to move your left hand. It's much more efficient. But people who struggle with them take both hands off the keyboard and move both hands down to the trackpad and try to operate the trackpad with multiple fingers on two different hands. And now that there's multi-touch, it really throws the trackpad off if both fingers are on the trackpad, because it senses that as a two-finger gesture. So some people do find it awkward. The last one I want to talk about today is a trackball. A trackball is basically a mouse upside down, or the old mouse is upside down where the ball was inside. I really like it. It's the one that I ordered from Kensington, and I'll put a link in the show notes to it. It's an upside down mouse. It stays in one place. It takes up a certain amount of area. There are multiple buttons on them, and they're all assignable. Mine at least has a scroll wheel around the ball that you use. And so I usually use my index finger or my index and middle finger to move the ball. And then if I want to scroll up and down the page, I just use my middle finger, just reach it down the side of the ball, and I can turn this. It's really handy. It's got a left and, you know, the left button is automatically regular click. The right button is automatically right click. It has software. All of these actually have software built, either built into the operating system or special drivers you can load. The Kensington is no different. It has software, and you can assign it to different buttons and different motions and two clicks and three clicks and all kinds of stuff. It's very tactile. You feel it under your hand. You can push down on the ball because it's quite large. It's probably an inch and a half diameter. So this one is particularly large, and that lets you spin that ball. I can spin it and with my finger and move the cursor across. I have a two screen setup. I can move it across two 27 inch screens with one flick of the finger, and it's where I want it to be. I don't have to sit there and you know, move the mouse like it was a move the mouse and then lift it and move it again and move it again to get it to go across the screen. Some of the negatives are it can get dirty, just like the old mouses. So you have to watch out. You can easily lift the ball out and clean the sensors, but eventually the sensors get dusty and they get old. And so that's one reason I haven't used a trackball for a while, because my old one finally wore out. You know what I think it was? I don't think it did wear out, though. That particular one, I think what happened was the plug changed. Instead of the old plugs that used to be, remember the old mouse plugs that were round on Apple? They used old round plugs also, multi-pin round plugs for the mice. When that changed to USB, my trackball wasn't USB, and I didn't want to spend $100. And so I think that was the problem. So they do wear out, but they last a really long time. Some find them difficult to use. It's upside down from a mouse. And so it takes your finger a little while to get used to working, just like a trackpad or a Wacom tablet. It takes your finger a while and your brain a while to figure out, oh yeah, I got to spin it to the right, spin it to the left. I'm not moving my whole hand, and just to think of it as upside down. Although what's nice is being able to assign things. So you can actually tell the trackball go opposite if you want. And I did that with the scroll wheel on Apple. Apple a few years changed on their trackpad the way the trackpad works. So you push, so it mimics an iPad, you know, when you push up or push down, the way that the window scrolls actually change, and it's actually opposite of Windows, which drives Windows users absolutely nuts. And so you can go into the settings and you can change it back to a traditional, or you can do what I did, which was go into the Kensington settings, and I just flipped the scroll wheel opposite, so it scrolled the way I intuitively wanted it to scroll. So it's very customizable. It's also noisy. Out of all of the input devices, it's the most noisy. You hear the buttons click. They're real clicky buttons. You hear the ball roll around in the mouse. It's not, you know, deafening loud, but you do notice it compared to the other devices. There is noise to it. So I suggest you give it a try. Go into a computer store and try out some of the different devices and see what works best for you. It's worth the money. If you're sitting at a computer for any period of time, it is so important to try to get your setup correct so that the screen is the correct height in front of your face, so that the keyboard is the correct height off of your chair, so that the mouse or input device is next to the keyboard in the proper place, and that it doesn't cause fatigue in your hand. And the chair, ultra important. If you want to know more about that, go back and listen to episode 13-14, which I will also put a link in the show notes too. And how do you get to those show notes? Well, you all know by now. It's www.smartteck.tv. On that website, we have a link to all of our past episodes. We have show notes available for every single show you can go to. You can see what's available out there in as far as new technology. We put a little window to our Twitter feed so you can see what we're tweeting about. And we put some buttons where you can contact us. And there's a few ways to contact us. There's a big like us on Facebook button. If you click on that, you can like our page. You can also like each episode, but there's a place to like our Facebook page. And most of our interaction, believe it or not, comes through Facebook. So go on there and like our page, and we'll keep you updated on that. Also, you can like us on iTunes. That probably does the most for getting our podcast out, because iTunes is the largest podcast distributor in the world. And we're a member of other distribution models. We're on TuneIn Radio. We're part of the Tech Podcast Network. There are multiple ways to see us, and you can see that all on the website. But the best way is on iTunes. If you'd click on the iTunes button and leave a comment and a rating about the show, it would do the most to promote the show of anything that you can do. And you can also sign up on our mailing list. You know, someday Facebook may go away, something weird may happen, and you lose our list. But if you sign up for our mailing list, we won't spam you, but we'll have contact with you so you know what's coming up in the world of smart tech. And I've had other people ask me, is there anything else we can do to support the show? Because we like the show, which is nice. I like people to like the show. Look, there's a button on the right-hand side that says click here to purchase from Amazon. If you go to our page, www.smarttech.tv, and you click on the Amazon link first before buying something on Amazon, it will cost you absolutely no more. You can do any kind of shopping you want to do on Amazon, but we get a finder's fee, and it's really, really small. But if a small percentage, a few of our listeners each month clicked on that link, it would be enough to keep us on the air. And so doing that would help us a lot. You can go to our website one more time, www.smarttech.tv, and you can find everything you need to know about this episode and other episodes and become part of the Smart Tech universe. Thank you again for listening to this episode. I know it was a lot of information about input devices, but as I said, the amount of time your hand spends on that device, it makes it worth it to consider all of these. And I'll put links to every single device we talked about on the website. You can go there and directly look at everything. All right. So it'd be nice to hear from you this week. Let us know what you think, either in the comments or on the comments on our Facebook page. Until next time, this is your host, Chuck Minear, hoping that this episode has made you just a little bit smarter about tech.